You're listening to the Woman Who Chat podcast with me, your host, Sandra Garlick. A podcast where I chat to women in business who share their knowledge and top tips, especially for you. I also share my own tips to help you gain visibility fast so that you appear to be everywhere, even when you're not. I'm delighted to bring this podcast to you each week to inspire and motivate you to achieve. Enjoy the podcast. Woman Who Chat is sponsored by Grow Radio. Grow Radio is an online radio station dedicated to bringing you a different podcast on the hour, every hour. I'm proud that Woman Who Chat is played on Grow Radio every Tuesday at 3 p.m. and Friday at 8 a.m. and to be a part of their podcasting community. If you want to listen to the station, explore their shows, check out many of the blogs to improve your podcasting skills, or get your podcast onto Grow Radio, head over to growradio.uk today. Welcome to Woman Who Chat. And today I'm chatting to Jeevan Punch from Elite Hampers. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you. If we're chuckling away to our listeners, this is take three. I just cannot get my words out today. So this is going to be an interesting one. Jeevan, tell us a little bit about what you do and what Elite Hampers is all about.
Yes, so Elite Hampers is a corporate gifting business. We make luxury food and drink hampers and we deliver across the UK. We're a small business, but the whole point of the business is about appreciating people within businesses. So I go out delivering all the time, so I'm constantly giving.
That's lovely. And I think there's nothing nicer than when, you know, that feeling inside when you're giving something. It's, and especially if people aren't expecting it, their face must just light up.
Oh, we are an example of that. I sponsor the National Dyslexia Awards. And so we make gift hampers for their tables. And for the first time in 2023, I ended up being at the event, which was fantastic. And nobody, you know, knew who I was. I was just at one of the tables and I was watching people open these hampers and the reaction, you know, they weren't expecting these. The lady that organizes it, you know, just does it because she cares. And it was just amazing just to see that reaction. So yeah, giving is a great feeling to see people receive.
Every day is a birthday and every day is a celebration.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
I want to take you on a bit of a journey, really, because I know that you've spent your career in healthcare. So it's, yes, a complete contrast, and we'll talk about that change in a minute. But just tell us what, you know, what did you do when you grew up?
What have I been doing? So I've always wanted to be in healthcare. As a child, I wanted to help people. And as you do, you try everything. And I did some work experience at an optician's, absolutely loved it. Did my A-levels, went to university, did optometry, and I qualified as an optometrist. And I loved it. It was great. I was constantly helping people. And it was a very social occupation as well. So yeah, for 15 years, I've been in healthcare, completely different to a gifting business. But yeah, so that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, and that within the NHS or is that private healthcare?
It's both. So in optometry, it's both. It's within the NHS and private.
Yeah. And I imagine, you know, when you're doing that kind of role for that length of time, you know, I often say to people, you know, if you could wave a magic wand and do a little side hustle or a business, what would it be? And obviously you decided to do Elite Hampers. So I think it's really hard when you're working full time and you've got that full time income coming in every month. You know, you can pay your bills, and most people live to their means, don't they? Or they live to their means and know they're going to put so much aside or whatever. How hard was it for you to say, right, OK, because I know you still practice and you're still qualified and you still do so many clinic days. How hard was it to say, right, I'm going to give up this full time salary and invest some of my time now and probably money into a completely new venture? And it's not even related other than giving and helping people. It's something totally different. So where did the idea sort of come from and how hard was that transition?
Yeah, so I think giving just generally, it's been a part of me since I was very young. It's a family thing. I've seen my parents constantly do it, and I was the kid at school that used to take in the Easter eggs and, you know, the Christmas cards. I used to love doing it. And throughout my working career, you know, if I saw somebody that needed a little bit of help or just wasn't having a good day, you know, you just buy them a coffee or give them a hug. It's, you know, it's making them feel good. So it wasn't going to be difficult, but the difficulty was giving up a career that I'd actually worked so hard to kind of build. It didn't come easy. But it was getting to a point during COVID that I felt I've got to change something. I wasn't happy, and I've always been happy in what I was doing. And I always say to my son, yeah, he's 5 now, but you know, if you don't try, you don't know. And I wasn't trying anything different to change something to make me feel better. I knew it wasn't right. I wasn't in the right mindset, and something had to change. And it was actually, I was talking to my husband, and it was one evening. I was looking on the computer. I thought, what else could I be doing? You know, what else can I do? I've always been an optician. Never really thought about, you know, the whole giving could be a business, because you give not because you want to make money. You give because you care. You know, you want to make somebody feel good. That one night, started talking gifting. It's got to be gifting. What else? You know, we do it as a family anyway. Let's think about what I could do. Thought of the name that night, went on company's house that night, set up the company, and then everything else had to work around it. It was, I had no idea what I was doing, to be honest. But I'd never sold, but you know, I'm not in healthcare, you don't sell, people come to you. You know, I had a clinic, and you get your patients and you see them, and you know, you're not really in a salesy role. But it was very hard, and I thought, oh, what have I done? Is this something that I can do? Then you just build on it. And I think if you don't push yourself just to change something, like if I hadn't done that night, I probably wouldn't have just carried on. I would have just been an optician still, because it takes a lot to make that change. And financially, it's a big thing. It's difficult. You're in a career, you've been earning, you know, and that does everything for you, your home, your holidays, and everything. You know, my career is paid for that, and then you don't get anything. If anything, you're investing all your savings just go into this business, and you don't know if it's going to work. It's a big risk, and it's very scary. But it all comes to that one thing again. I was telling my son, if you don't try, you don't know, and if I didn't try, I wouldn't know. So that's the little story behind how it kind of all happened and the risks I took.
I love that. And, to people listening here or watching on YouTube, it's that commitment, isn't it? You've got to be committed in any, I think it comes from passion. If you're passionate about something, it does drive you to do that commitment. And you do have to take risks. Business, whatever business you go into, there are risks. There's no doubt about that. And you've sort of hedged that risk in a way that you've kept so many days for the day job, so that you've got some income coming in, but you've got the freedom then to build the business. So, is the idea that, if the business keeps on growing, that you may dedicate full time to that, or do you still want to keep your healthcare and that side and the optometry?
I think I'd still want to keep it. I've got that qualification, and it's not like I didn't enjoy it. It just changed for me. Something inside of me just changed. And when I am doing the odd day, if I am in clinic, and let's say somebody locally cancels or an optician is off sick, and I can make that clinic, those 15 patients can get seen. And it's a bit of a social for me, to be honest. I love talking to my patients. So I think I'd still keep my hand in, and it's helping the local community still too. So yes, I'll still carry on.
And I think I found that when I, gave up being a solicitor, I still do some in-house work a few days a week. And that it makes it worthwhile because I think the journey to get that qualification to do that, the constant learning, the sacrifices I made to get that qualification, to just throw it away would be, I mean, I don't practice as a solicitor now. I just do in-house and in-house legal advice. But it's, yeah, I get where you're coming from. You still want to keep your hand in. I still do my CPD. I still do my learning. I still keep up to date with everything because I think, well, I've got that skill set. But actually, some of the skills that you have in your day job, as it were, are transferable into business anyway.
Oh,
So
absolutely.
your people.
Absolutely.
Your people skills, seeing people every day, caring for them, come straight through into the new business, even though it's completely different.
I totally agree. And when I first set up the business, I didn't see that. I just thought, oh, I'm an optician. This is totally different. And I'll have to start networking, because we don't network as opticians. You know, we go to our CPD events, and that's it. And we don't have to do the networking. I can't do this. But it's all about talking to people. And I started getting comfortable with that. And I'd done within optometry. I mean, I'd been a practice manager for a little while. I'd built up some other skills as well alongside doing the day job as an optician. But I never really thought I could use that elsewhere. I just thought it was part of my optician role. But it does help. And keeping your hand in as well, it gives you the kind of motivations that actually I am capable of doing just one thing. I don't have to give up something to start something else. And if I wanted to go back into optometry, I've still got the choice as well. So why not? It's life. And I think, life is so short, it's easy to say, this is me, this is what I'll do forever. And I could have done that. And I couldn't, and I could still do it. This is Elite Hampers, this is what I'll do forever. But I never know what's going to happen tomorrow. So embrace change. That's what I've done. And embrace the fact that actually we are capable of doing more than just one thing.
I'm briefly interrupting this podcast to tell you about the Woman Who Live and awards lunch on Friday, the 10th of May. It's a morning of personal development, business growth and networking, and an afternoon of inspiration and celebration, all in the beautiful marquee at Coombe Abbey Hotel. If you're looking to be inspired, learn something new and make great connections, then pop over to the Woman Who website, womanwho.co.uk/events for all the information. Plus, there are some great sponsorship opportunities too. Now back to the podcast. I absolutely love that, Jeevan. It's just so important, isn't it? You said we're here once, it's not a rehearsal, it's not a practice run. And so many people, I remember when I used to sit in the office every morning and think there's got to be more to this. And, I may not have captured the idea and done it that day, but I did buy the domains. I used to get the idea, buy the domain, set up the back office, as it were, and then sit on it until I was ready, which is what I did with Woman Who. But it's, it's about taking action, really. It's about saying, right, OK, I'm going to do this. And when you decide you're going to do it, actually doing something about it. And so many people don't take that next step. And if I look back and think, God, I sat on Woman Who for 10 years. I bought the domains, but I sat on it. Now, it wasn't the right time for me, but it could have been. I just was risk averse at that point in time. And I think had I been in a different situation, had I had another income coming in or anything like that from a partner or a spouse, I think the decision would have been a bit easier. But I was the sole breadwinner for two growing lads, going to university. And I had to be very sensible in what, my choices. But it's, the fact that you've made that decision, you talked to your husband, you said, right, I'm doing it, you've set it up and off you go. And I remember when I first met you, it was at a networking event and, you said you'd just started training and you put yourself straight out there, didn't you?
I did, yeah. But I think it was because it was so different and I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know I needed to get an alcohol license to sell, obviously, alcohol and food licenses and things like that. So I just put myself out there and I thought, if I don't learn, I won't know what I'm doing and I'm going to keep making mistakes. And I've always been very meticulous in my learning. I like to learn. I'm a bit of a geek. And I thought, okay, put myself out there. And I remember the event that I went to, it was my first big event. I was so nervous. I didn't know anybody. I didn't even know the area. I just drove there. It took me over an hour. I got lost and I got there and I thought, oh, this is a massive building. What am I doing here? Nobody's going to know me. I can't talk to anybody. But you know what? It was just about talking to people and it was just nice. It was, I spoke to you. It was lovely. I met so many lovely businesses and it kind of gave me the push and the confidence to get out that I can do this. So everything that I've done, it's been a new kind of learning for me. Networking was a big thing, finding suppliers, because when I was just giving generally in the family, you're going to make a gift, you go to Marks and Spencer's and Sainsbury's and you can put stuff together. I couldn't do that. This is different. I've got to get my suppliers and find things that way. So it's been a massive learning curve.
And you wouldn't even think, the suppliers, the licenses, all that. Most people start a business and you don't think of those things. So you've literally learned whilst doing it. And I was impressed with you. When you say, you it was your first networking event, I think even though you didn't know it at the time, that co those conversations you were having every day while you were doing your clinics in healthcare was with people. So they were just conversations about something different. And that's what people don't realize. They say, oh, how am I going to do that? But actually, you're probably doing it in your day life and in your day job anyway. And what a great way to transition to a new business is to reduce your working hours or days in your existing role and start to introduce the business that way. And then it's made it almost a safety net, really. Not a safety net in that, oh, I can give this up and go back to my job. A safety net in that if you are so dependent on your financial income and you can't take that leap on day one, it's a way to do it and to build up the business. And so many women in business that I know have done exactly that.
It's unbelievable. I didn't know how much it would cost to do certain things. I mean, I was that unaware. Social media, I wasn't using social media, even personally. Marketing, never marketed myself. It was all of these things, but it costs a lot of money. And when, you can easily just on the whim, like I did, set up a business and think, that's it, I'm going to set up a business. But there's a lot more involved to it, and it is a risk. But you've got to be constantly thinking, actually, am I making the right choices? If I've made a mistake, it's okay, but have I learned from it? And from early on in the business, that's what I was trying to do, because I have made mistakes. It's not been an easy ride. It's been, oh, why did I spend on that? Why did I do that? Or why didn't I do this with my website? Or that product, why was I using that? All these things, and you learn from it, but learning early on from it, because it is a big investment. And you don't want to constantly be leaking money, because you realize actually when you push yourself out of a comfort zone where you've been working for a very long time, and it becomes almost not easy, but you're comfortable. You know what you're doing day in, day out. Somebody pays you. You know you're going to get a paid certain amount in that month. But when that all goes and there's nothing coming in, but everything's going out, you have to think, oh, okay, what am I doing?
And I think, when you are a new business and you've been going a couple of years now,
Yes.
so you hit that point probably six. I think the first 6 months is like the honeymoon. It's the excitement. It's the, oh, it's all going to go brilliantly, etc. And you were probably, when you started, were you at the tail end of the pandemic or were you in the middle of?
Yes, so we launched the website October 2021.
Yeah, so it's just as we were coming out of the pandemic, and I think. It's that time, that period of time, everything's going, you think everything's going great, and then you hit that 6 months and it's like a wall. And that's when you start to think, oh God, everything's going out the business. When's it all going to start coming in? And I don't think people realize sometimes the hard work is not going to happen overnight. It's all about the investment, not only in money, but investment in time and investment in making the right choices and perseverance and that resilience to keep going. Because actually, there's some brilliant ideas, but people, I think, sometimes give up too soon.
Yes, and I can understand why it can get to a point, and you're right, about 6 months in, the honeymoon period goes and it's like, oh God, it's not working, or what else could I be doing to help myself? Or it's such a big change, and you've got to push through it. There is always a barrier, and as I think as human beings, we put barriers on ourselves. We can't do this, we can't do this. But we're capable of doing so much more. It's just knowing what to do and keeping the right kind of people around you as well, because it's easy to get all negative and I can't do this, I don't do this, then I'll go back to what life was like. But you need people motivating you, you need that kind of perseverance, and you need to have your end goal in mind. Always have your end goal in mind. Mine is, I want people to feel appreciated. And I love it when I get an order and it's going to go to these businesses, or these people are going to open them and they're going to think, oh, wow, this, not me as Elite Hampers, but their bosses or whoever sent the gift, they really care about me. How nice is that? And it's going to push them, motivate them, and they might stay with that business for a lot longer. in the light of dawn, or the care for the business might change, but it's that appreciation that keeps me going. And that, not having a salary and not earning, because first I know 2 to 3 years, everything is just going to be going out. It's just going to be going out. And then things will start to kind of settle. But I've got to have the belief and my end goal in mind if I'm going to make it work. If I'm constantly thinking, oh, this isn't going to work, or have a negative mindset, it's just going to turn negative. And I know I'd be, okay, let's give up. Let's just shut everything down. I can still be an optician. But
Yeah.
that's taking the easy way out. It's, and I'm not going to be doing that.
I can tell, and for those of you listening, if you're not watching on YouTube, when Jeevan talks about her business, her face lights up, you're smiling, you're so passionate about what you're doing. So I can't see you just jumping ship and going back into optometry full time at this point anyway. I think your business is going to grow, and you're definitely investing yourself in it as well as the time and money, because it's a product-based business, and product-based businesses have margins, and it's difficult. You have to be aware of that. Sadly, we're running out of time, so I always ask my guests to leave the audience with a piece of advice or a top tip. What would yours be?
Don't give up. Just don't give up. And there's always a reason to keep going. Surround yourself with the right people, and that's going to motivate you to keep on going. Giving up is something that you do when you feel as though there's nobody surrounding you. There's no way kind of to go forward, but there's always something to keep you going. Have the end goal in mind.
Love that, love that. Well, it's been great chatting to you. That's Jeevan Punj from Elite Hampers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Woman Who Chat podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Join me next week for more inspiration, learning, and top tips. In the meantime, visit womanwho.co.uk to find out how you can start your Woman Who journey, or even feature on a future podcast. You can also join the Woman Who Achieves community on Facebook. The link is in the show notes. There, you'll get the opportunity to network, find support, and make new connections with over 1,000 women in business. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss next week's podcast. And if there are any topics you would like to hear, just get in touch with me, your host, Sandra Garlick.